Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with one of my favorites, Dr. Sherry Keffer. And Dr. Keffer, hi. Welcome
hey,
to
Steve.
New Life. It's
hey.
Almost, you know, it's almost the end of June. What are we going to do here?
I know. Can you believe
well,
that?
We'll just have to go into July, I guess. I guess. Anyway, our final little Wednesday of June, we've got 10 tips for maintaining sexual integrity. These are by Joe Dallas. And here's a good one. This is radical. Get some help.
Really?
Awesome. Get help.
Yep.
We all need help. And, you know, it's one of those things you think, yeah, I could do this by myself. No. And why? If you can get help, if you can find help right where you are, a counselor, an accountability partner, a wise pastor, a men's Bible study where you're really dealing with major issues. Well, that's just one of them. If you want the other tips on maintaining that integrity, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sherry, we were doing a program, and a woman came to Women in the Battle, and so many women respond the way that, you know, they develop courage, and they develop wisdom and courage, and they do things that they never thought they would do. But this one woman went home, and she really fell back into things that, you know, just were so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And she was in such denial.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's a woman out there who is in denial this very minute. What do you say to that woman that who just won't see the reality of her own life?
Well, first off, I have a lot of compassion for you and why you don't want to look. I lived that way for 4 years. I didn't want to look because what it would have meant would have been a big change in my life. Mm-hmm. Because we were in ministry, there was a risk of us losing our position and possibly losing my marriage and our home. And so I went into denial. I kept the secret from myself. I knew something was going on, but I just didn't want to look at it. I kind of prayed it would go. I didn't kind of pray. I did pray it would go away. I hoped for the best and thought if I just can be enough, love him enough and care for him enough, maybe he'll change. But let me tell you the truth is it only gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
It grows. It's more like cancer. If you think about it, recently, Steve, I had a woman that came. She wasn't a client, it was a friend that I came to see me, and she had found out that she had a tumor in her breast. And it was so overwhelming when she found out about it that she ignored it. And the cancer continued to grow. What could have been eradicated by early intervention ended up not only costing her breast, but it cost her life. And it was devastating to watch her go through that and to actually see her digress. And so many of us were reaching out to her, crying out, please do something. And it was that denial that caused her to lose her own life. That's what I would say is don't wait. What's happening in your home is not going to go away. It's time for you to be brave and open your eyes and look. And let us help you look. Let us help you assist you with what you need to take the next step. right? New Life TV.
What a combination, denial and procrastination.
Yep.
And the result, death. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Sherry Keffer. We're going to go to the phones. And here we go to Brian from Pittsburgh. He listens on WORD. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hello.
Thanks for holding on there, buddy.
Can you
hear
me?
What's going on? Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, no problem. I don't know. I have an interesting situation.
Okay.
It's probably the women that usually call with this problem.
Okay. Well, what is that?
I are middle age. We've been separated a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was her idea to separate. I didn't
okay.
want to leave, but, you know, you can't force something to be. It's like we're not filing divorce. She hasn't filed divorce. When I asked her about it, she goes, well, I want to, but I can't afford it. But anytime we're in public, she's friendly and outgoing. You know, put her hands on me to talk to me, smiles. You know, we get along, but if I try to touch her, she pulls back or tells me not to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, okay. It's an odd situation. I mean, We've got kids that are grown and out of the house, and we've still got a couple kids that are home. So it's a mix of things. You know, I don't know if it's because the youngest of the daughters just moved out, and maybe it's a little bit of empty nest, or I don't know.
So what's the question
for
us, then?
I don't know where to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything I've been reading, I had walked away from church for 20-plus years and got back in and talked to my pastor, talked to a couple pastors, different people I know, and everything I'm studying, I got to where I study every day, and the more I read, it's like, okay, there's no infidelity. And my pastor said, well, she left so you could file a divorce, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't get that feeling because what I read, it says, you know, they can leave, but it doesn't tell me to file a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to anyway. And it's like, you know, I don't know where to take it from there. I've
all
asked her about counseling. She doesn't want to go to counseling because she says it's temporary and you go back to what it was. And
that's an interesting rationalization, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sherry, what are you thinking when you hear these things?
So are you living outside of the house, Brian?
Correct.
Well, you know, something is going on, and I think you're right. I don't know what was happening before this separation. I don't know how disconnected you guys were before that point. I assume that you guys were pretty disconnected. Is that true?
Not too much. I mean, we communicated a lot. We had, you know, kind of a normal life. I worked a lot, but, you know, go home, we'd do things together. We didn't go out as much as we should. Like, we didn't plan those outings, but we spent a lot of time with, we had a lot of family close by, so they would come out. But there were always things going on.
My hunch is that you have two different needs, and those needs weren't being met in the relationship. What you might call good might be what she calls starving, or vice versa. Like, there was not enough of something, or you guys would be together. It's kind of like she set herself up right now. And I have questions about, I'm wondering about her dad, because it's almost like you have become her father. You are the provider financially. You are her caretaker. You don't want to leave. You're the good dad. And then she's got her world and her life and her kids and her house. And she's got her creaturely comforts. You're providing for all of that. But you're not really getting her.
No, not at all.
And so that just doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. Couples grow into that.
Well, I'm sure it did over time. Like, she always felt I was more needy than she was, because unlike probably a lot of relationships, I was the one asking for communication or time. Like, we went through the love languages, and mine was affirmation and time, and hers was more service and...
So she's more avoidant. She's more avoidant. In the book, How We Love, like, tasks are more of what she does. Touch is not one of her love languages. Quality time. You tend to be the one that's kind of more that way, correct?
So what do you think would be the best thing for him to do?
Well, first off, is I think you're enabling her to stay disconnected right now. And the hardest thing for you is, well, I ask her, but she doesn't want to do anything. Well, you may have to do a bold move. It may have to be, how old are your kids that are in the house?
The two still at home are 13 and 6. So anything that they're involved in, I'm always there.
Okay, but do you see how weird it is?
If she calls and needs me to take them somewhere, I take them, because I'm not going to say no to my kids.
Right, but what's stopping you from going back home?
She doesn't want me to.
Okay, but...
With her mother, too. So, I mean, it's her mother's house. So I don't know if her mom's involved in it or not.
Okay, so you're living in your mother's house, and you've been kicked out.
Right. Yeah, her father passed away, so we moved there to take care of her mom. So she's being the caregiver for her mom and the caregiver for the kids, and to me it seems like she just felt like she didn't have anything to give to me. So my concept of it is she thought it was best to basically set me free.
Oh,
she
my
couldn't
goodness.
Give me what I needed.
Okay, but the problem is, I get it, but you've gone along with the program, Brian. There's this part of you that feels very small and compliant. Like, I start wondering.
And I feel like I have to be I got to be there for my kids.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to provide a lot of financial support. I do what I can, but not like when we're together.
Okay, so, Sherry, what do you think is the plan that Brian would have to follow if over a period of 6 months we were to see some progress here? Because I feel like every time you suggest something, he's going to tell you why that hasn't happened, or what is a reality more important than that. And I don't think there's a simple solution here.
So I think, Brian, you're stuck in a pleasing role. In the book How We Love, you're stuck in that pleasing, enabling position. You're placating. You've lost your power.
It's always been my role.
Okay, thank you. Now, you're going to need to face that fearlessly. And my hunch is you haven't done your own work. You haven't gone into a counselor's office and sat down and said, I need to look at what is going on in me that's disempowered me, that I'm not even living in the same house with my kids. Do you know your kids are impacted because you're not there? Do you know what that's teaching them?
I see it.
Do you know what that's teaching them about masculine? Yeah, about masculinity and about protection. Do you know they feel unprotected that you're not there? You're going to have to fight through your own dilemma to get to them. And so I want you to start your own therapy. I don't want you to make excuses for it because there's a lot at stake here. I want you to get the book, How We Love, and I want you to start looking at the pleaser position, and I want you to start seeing your wife maybe as the avoidant. You'll find her in the book. I would love to have you guys come to the marriage workshop that's coming up here in the near future. Steve will give you the dates. But it's, you have got to turn over the tide because she's not going to get better. This isn't going to go away, my friend.
No. No. All right. No, I want you to hold on. And
hold on to her past.
Well, I think, you know, this is one of those cases where sometimes you have to say, okay, I get it. You're out of here. We're disconnected. Are you willing to do one thing? And that's why we do these workshops. We try to take these impossible situations, and she's pretty impossible. There's no question about it. Anybody saying that we're always biased against men, hey, here's a woman that has presented an impossible front for any man to deal with. And so the question is she willing to do anything? And if she's willing to do anything, it ought to come to one of our workshops where we take the impossible situations and make them workable. There was a reason you guys got married, and there is a reason that you could create together an amazing relationship. So I'll tell you about that right off the air. Maybe we can even find some kind of scholarship for you. All right, let's go to Teddy from Waco, Texas, listening on the internet. Hi, Teddy. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you today?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Yeah. I tell you why I'm calling. I don't even know where to begin. A wife of almost 20 years. She and I love her to death, and been together for a long time. Anyway, I'm close to about 40 now, and our life got busy with a business about 10 years ago or so, and we drifted a lot. We just drifted apart a lot, and she was busy raising the two boys, and raising the boys, I was always burying stuff about her past that, she wasn't one, wild or anything like that, but She was a teenager, and her dad didn't raise her much, and she wasn't wild, but there've been a couple guys there, I never talked, she was willing to talk to me about it, and she felt bad, and we were new Christians, got married, 18 years ago, I buried it, and it always just stuck in my crawl. It just bothered me. I didn't want to bother her with it and make her feel bad, and I never did. And then all of a sudden I started reading your New Life stuff about confession and about talking. And I had grown to resent my wife because I felt like I was working so hard to provide for the family.
Right.
She just kind of grew cold.
She grew cold.
Okay. Well, she didn't feel we weren't connecting, and she I was working a lot, and I wasn't leading the family. I don't think like I should have. I wasn't involved in a Bible study and none of that. I went to her one day, and I couldn't handle anymore after I was reading your stuff. And I said, I tell you what's been bothering me. I feel like you don't have any attention for me, but I think back, and there was attention you had for other people before me, and I've been paying for everything. And trying to do right with financially, and that really, to be honest, that was the closest I felt to her since we first started out, because I felt like just the weight was off my shoulders. I told her, and we cried and all, and it was it was moving, and we've been
then what happened?
Then we started doing the confession, and stuff was bothering her, and I appreciate that she can be honest with me. And she told me something. I mean, she never had an affair or nothing like that, but there were a few times when, I guess that not 50 Shades of Grey, but one something like that. And she told me she thought about that kind of thing and looked up an old boyfriend on Facebook one time. Never contacted him or nothing like that. But it just hurt me because I had put her on the pedestal. I just
sure.
thought I thought I could have done something like that, but
yeah,
it hurt me, and
I said,
I'm not making excuses.
I get it. Now look, we understand what happened here. Now, do you have a specific question that you want to ask?
Well, what would you do at this point? Because
all right.
I'm thinking about all this stuff that you know.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
we're going to help you here, because so many men have an idealized view for a very long time about the person they're married to, and then they find out who they really are, and it doesn't make them horrible or bad. They're just different than that, you know, that pedestal woman that you had. And just because she's not on the pedestal anymore doesn't mean she's still not a great and wonderful person. And so we'll help you deal with that transition from the idealized to the real woman that you really married. And you can be just more in love with the real one than the idealized one, you know?
Well.
Because Barbie, you know, Barbie, there's the ideal. She didn't even have a heart. All right. So we'll talk about that after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy in Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 22nd through the 24th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Are you looking to recharge your relationships, overcome an addiction, or draw closer to God's truth? With New Life TV, these are just some of the many teachings available inside New Life's online TV channel. If you haven't joined, now's your opportunity. This offer is for new subscribers only. Get 4 months free for the fourth. For as little as $5 a month, you can get unlimited access to over 1,200 videos. Go to tv.newlife.com and select the annual subscription package. The promo ends July 5th at 11:59 p.m. Get hope and healing in the comfort of your own home. Sign up today and take the first steps towards your new life. This really is the truth that will set you free. Go to tv.newlife.com and select the annual subscription package. Happy Independence Day from tv.newlife.com. Remember, this offer ends at 11:59 p.m. on July 5th. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Teddy, and it's just really tough, Teddy, I know, to accept the reality when you think it was different than that. But Dr. Keffer, what do you think Teddy ought to be focused on here, and how can we help him?
Well, you know, Teddy, I love... Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
I feel like it's so complicated for me. The thing is, I worked a lot, and I really basically let her lead the house, and I shouldn't have. I was just busy with work, and I idolized her, and I've learned that. And I've learned that now. I think God showed it to me one day, and I idolized, and I can't do that. And God needs to be my God, And I feel like I put so many things on the back burner that were important. Like Dr. Cloud says, if everything's important, nothing's important. And I'm just afraid now. I feel close to her, but I start thinking now about, you know, previous relationships she had before me. And the thing is, she didn't even have to tell me that. She told me that because she wanted to be honest. She's trying to be confessional, right?
Right, but what does that say about you? Because it's going so deep inside of your heart, Teddy. Here's a wife who's decided to risk, and she's decided to actually follow your leadership. in just being honest. And what she's bringing you, and she's really bringing you some vulnerable pieces of information, right? She's been in the Sahara Desert emotionally, and she's telling you, I was dying on the vine, and I read this book, and you know that book, Shades of Grey, has done so much damage to awaken things in marriages that were never meant to be awakened. But what it did, it was telling. It, the fact that she actually, you know, looked somebody up, and she was longing for connection. But the fact that she did that, what is the negative belief about yourself in light of her doing that? What's the negative belief about you?
Well, I mean, I think it was, to be honest, I think it's more that I was busy and I let that.
No. I'm going to take you right back. What's the belief about yourself? I'm not talking about busyness, because there's a negative belief about you in light of her doing that. What does that say about you?
Well, I guess I feel like
I am.
Let her down. I let her down.
Okay.
I didn't. I wasn't what she needed.
Okay.
And I wasn't leading the family.
So you know what I did? I wrote, "I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I've done something wrong." And so when okay, but is that hit the mark? Is that in the zone? I didn't give her what she needed. I've done something wrong and I'm not enough. And so when she brings this to me, it's a reminder of something that I've done that I haven't forgiven myself for.
Well, yeah, when the thing is, I knew I wasn't doing enough. I just rationalized it.
I get it.
And she would hop on board, like, "Go ahead. I know you're busy. You got to work. You know, I understand." And I knew. I mean, I don't want to say this cocky, but I knew she wouldn't cheat on me. Like, go out and do something. You know what I mean? But when that happened, if you knew how this woman was, the fact that she ever looked anybody up on, I was
heartbreaking. I get it. It was heartbreaking that she would even do that. It was heartbreaking because it went right into that negative belief that I'm not enough. That's why you've been so driven to prove yourself through work. If I can just provide, right?
And the thing is, I mean, she couldn't know. I was falling on my sword, like trying to not upset her. You know, she volunteered and we became Christians to talk about whatever. And I just didn't want to go there.
But
and
Teddy,
I didn't want to bring it up as easy.
I get it. But Teddy, you're having a normal reaction to a wound.
Okay.
The fact that she did that.
Well, let me ask you. Here's the other thing. I mean, you know, when we talked about it, she's very private. This was, if you knew this was how hard, how private she is. She's very proud, pretty girl.
But Teddy, it's not about her. It's not about her. It's about what she did that wounded you, and it impacted how you see yourself. And that's where you're spinning. This negative belief that I wasn't enough, I didn't do enough, I couldn't keep her attention.
Right.
I couldn't.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I know that I was neglecting.
But other women might have had a different reaction. You see, and so she didn't have to react the way that she did,
right?
No matter what you did. See, that's
what do you mean?
Another woman not getting the kind of attention or not being there might have looked up a women's Bible study and joined that women's Bible study to grow in this time and learn how to draw you in more and bring you back home. I mean, that would have been a reaction that somebody might have had.
Right.
But she didn't do that.
She said that.
Okay, so
she said she should have done more, and this has been a couple months ago. But
you need some men to come alongside you, a male counselor or somebody like that, to help you believe what you're hearing and what you're actually saying too.
Because at some point, Teddy, it looks like this: when you own what you've done, a true confession is, "Honey, it breaks my heart to hear that that's what you did. I own that I wasn't there, and I am so brokenhearted over what you did. In fact, it's caused me to question my trust. Even though I know you haven't done more, it hurts this part of my heart that I never thought I would have to worry about with you. but I am turning the corner. I want to repair. I don't ever want us to be at this place again. And I own my part, but also letting her own her part on how she hurt you.
We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed sometimes. I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Really glad that Teddy was with us. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send him a subscription to tv.newlife.com and a copy of the great book, Every Man, God's Man. And so often we just beat ourselves up and we're just doing the best that we can and we can't control the other person's reaction.
Or what they do, right?
No, that's right. So I hope that Teddy got some encouragement from that. And it's important that everybody carry their own load, you know, that we got to let people be responsible for what they did, their response. And I hope that he can do that. But right now, I want to talk with Carrie from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to New Life. What's going on in your life today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have recently been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And
all right.
I'm in my late 50s.
Okay.
I've always had problems with emotion regulation.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't fit into a lot of the criteria surrounding borderline. I don't suffer from addiction and a lot of the other things that people do.
Some of the extremes, but you haven't experienced
yeah.
that? Mm-hmm.
Right. When I was recommended by my therapist to do an intake for a DBT class, a group, and when I did the intake with them, they said that they would not diagnose me as that. However, my husband and I have just recently been dealing with our son's heroin addiction for the past, 5.5 years, and he currently has 6 months clean. But during that time...
Yay, that's a good thing.
It's tremendous. It's a tremendous thing. But during that time, my husband basically slept on the sofa. The things that we did were basically surrounding my son's addiction. There was no sex. There was no, intimacy like that. So
mm-hmm.
now that my son's been clean, I began to be triggered into believing that my husband didn't love me and didn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went on a quest, and I got into his email, and I found he's on a worship team, and I found what I thought was an inappropriate email from a young woman that was on the team, and I just
was
have
it?
Like allowed in my mind it was inappropriate. She was asking him to play for the third weekend in a row, and she said, "I need you," and then ha ha, and told him what a skilled drummer he is. And but here's the thing: she's only 22 years old, but she's mm-hmm. very beautiful and sings beautifully. And anyway, I emailed her and I just told her that I thought it was inappropriate. And we ended up sitting down after church one day and having a discussion, myself, my husband, her, and the pastor. And I don't want to judge her. We worked through it. Her reasoning was, she said, "Well, I'm young," which she is. And, you know, I just have allowed myself to just, I think because we didn't have a connection, and I just went on this search.
Yeah. Okay.
That,
so
I found out he had all the.
All right. So what's the question for us?
Found out he had all these what?
He had all these women's phone numbers in his cell phone, and all these email addresses of these different women. And I didn't really think we had that kind of a marriage. I thought we had more of a. Like, I didn't do that to him, so I didn't, and I knew some of it was work-related, but some of it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so I just felt this drift, like he drifted away from me,
right.
But doesn't want to own any of it, and my therapist keeps telling me that all my emotions are based on my past, my upbringing with my parents, which
okay.
was
so
pretty...
Now, look, you've got some good counseling going on, and you've gotten this diagnosis, and the person thought that you could... handle the diagnosis. Sometimes therapists think somebody maybe can't even handle it. So, well, how can we help you? Because you've got good counsel. Why did you call us? We want to help. We want to do what we can.
I guess I'm searching for, like, I don't know. Like, I feel this overwhelming emotion, this fear of abandonment. Like, I'm on the outside looking in, which I do know those are two things that to fall with borderline. And my husband's done a lot of things to try to connect with me. And I just let my emotion take over. And I just act out and say and do things based on things that I believe are true. Because I feel so unworthy.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know how to move forward.
All right. Well, Dr. Keffer, what do you think? I mean, she was suspicious. She discovered it was true. There are some things that would be inappropriate there. And now I think she's confused about the diagnosis because some are saying she does, some she doesn't. She doesn't have all the severe symptoms.
So, Carrie, do you feel like your therapist is discounting the facts about the phone numbers and the emails? And are they
Yes, he was.
Go ahead.
Yes, he was very angry at me that I got into my husband's phone and told me it was completely inappropriate and I was completely out of line.
Wow.
And
what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
I felt like it was very harsh. I felt like he was projecting onto me maybe some of his own stuff. And I didn't think that was fair. It made me almost more emotional because I wasn't getting any validation, not from my husband, not from my therapist.
That's kind of crazy-making, isn't it?
It was. I felt crazy. I literally felt like, how can I connect these dots? Because these dots are not connecting.
Yeah.
I found all this stuff. I didn't think our marriage was this way. And then I find out that it is, because I start to see that, well, my husband told me, he said he started to think of me more as a companion. I was more his companion.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we weren't having sex, so...
Right. So what happened is you've had this tragedy with your son, 5.5 years consume you guys, and that was overwhelming to your system. Now, I don't know. Your system is a marriage. I don't know what was happening before that. I don't know how you guys were. But going through that created this crisis, right, for both of you. And
right. And through, we also found out that my daughter had been molested by my husband's brother's kid, and that has turned into a family crisis as well.
Oh my goodness.
Folks are very
So a lot of scary things kind of going down all at the same time. I actually really appreciate the DBT group, because dialectical behavioral therapy, they work a lot with reactivity, and I think it probably felt really good to have them second guess that diagnosis. I want to encourage you to get another opinion.
Okay.
If you feel like your therapist isn't really hearing your concern mm-hmm. about this, did you know your husband was on a worship team, or did you just find that out?
No, I knew he was on a worship team,
okay.
And I was always supportive.
But you didn't know that there was this email. And then the more you got in and looked and just discovered, because this was stuff you didn't know about. It's not like your husband brought it to you and said, hey, I've got all these girls' phone numbers in my phone, and I've got these emails, and I want to let you know what I'm saying to each one of them. He didn't disclose that. You discovered it. Correct?
Right.
And so I want you to sit with someone who's going to understand your discovery and not make you wrong and bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys may end up coming around to the same diagnosis, or you may be moved in completely another direction. You may be validated for what's going on, and there may be a whole new world of things that open up to you. But I think it's worthy of you getting somebody else to look in. And I'm right now being certified with a group called CSAT, Certified Sex Addictions Therapist. You can go online to something called ITAP, IITAP. org, and look for somebody in your area that's going to understand what it might be like to be a wife who finds these things, and then go to them and get their perspective.
Well, we can try to see if we've got somebody in our network.
Absolutely. Yeah. In our New Life group.
Hold on, and we'll try to do that. I'm going to give you a subscription to TV.NewLife, because I think it's really going to help you with some great things, and I want to encourage you, you know, I like Sherry. I mean, I think you need to look at maybe another counselor here, and might find the support that you need.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, just have to let you know, we were just talking and...
We have such great conversations offline. And well, I'm like, Steve, can you just share that?
Well, I'm just saying, a therapist said to her, well, you shouldn't be looking. Well, that'd be like, let's just say you suspected your husband went in the bathroom and was playing with matches. Like he had some weird thing from his childhood. And you smell smoke coming from, would it be bad? Would it be wrong to go to the trash can and see if there were some matches in the trash can after? No. Now, if you did that every day and there was no evidence, then that'd be a problem. But look, you're married to the person. You've got vows that you made. I say go check it out. And here, in this case, she did check it out. Guess what? She was right.
And
there
she got in trouble by her therapist, right? It's like that can end up being treatment trauma. Right? Because we think, well, they're the ones that are in charge. They know what's best. So we get to own our own. But I love your example, Steve. And hey, if Carrie, if you want to come to the Women in the Battle Conference, please come. It could be a place where you can unpack that without judgment. You're not going to get in trouble there. We want to just help you unpack the facts, right? Yeah. So that you can be restored to sanity and find reality again.
That's right. All right. Let's talk with Carol from Mountain Home, Arkansas. KCMH is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Thanks for taking
the
call. Well, I got to thinking of something I heard on a previous show about wanting forgiveness from a perpetrator from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that rang a bunch of chords with me. I had been there for many years. He's dead now. But I remember the strangeness of going to his funeral. This strange because I was so relieved. And thinking about that later, it wasn't just relief that he's not going to touch me. He's not going to touch my daughter. It wasn't that. It was I was able to let myself off the hook because I no longer was going to beat myself up trying to confront him or waiting for him to bring it up or say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
I thought about it over the years, I realized what I had accidentally done. The thing that happened in childhood where there was all this silence around it, because, I mean, he didn't talk during those times, and so it stayed in a silent mode. But mm-hmm. here I was as an adult.
Wow.
Continuing the silent mode,
yes.
But not only that, I was putting so much power still in his court, waiting for him to do something, while my life was kind of on hold. I was just kind of continually going with the flow,
right.
And a lot of terrible things were still going on in my life while I continued to role model that of being childlike and just going with the flow, not making really good decisions. But long afterward, I got to thinking of how unrealistic it was, even though we want them to say, I'm sorry. But it really was unrealistic, just like it was hard for me to imagine bringing it up myself. And I realized it would have been far harder for him to do that, because I mean, I could see I stood a lot to lose and bringing it up, because what if he denied it, or what if he said, yeah, but so what, or what if he told the whole family and everyone turned against me? But sure, I had those things to face, but I was merely the victim. What about this other person, my grandfather? How much he actually had more to face. I mean, he could have jail time, or he could be ousted for his terrible crimes. And seeing it from his standpoint, even though I still had to to work on forgiveness, it became much easier because suddenly something switched inside of me, and I actually saw him more as a human being. Mm. And it helped me to actually have compassion and ask God to forgive him. Mm.
I wish every person could get to that point. That is an amazing place to go. You know, it's an interesting...
Wow, Carol.
And I'm so grateful that you brought this up because, you know, it's important that, first of all, you're able to say that the perpetrator and the abuser is a monster, you know, that you're realistically identifying. That's the problem. And then part of the healing, when we can come to also see that, yes, they're human and that they can be forgiven, it's just an interesting journey that people go through. Some people never see them as the problem, you know, and really see that problem as being the monster. You say the addiction maybe they have is the monster, nor do they ever come to the place where they see that, hey, they're struggling humans. That's a tough place, but it's all part of the journey.
Well, and you know, John, when he called in that day, you and I happened to be on that show together,
yeah.
Steve. Do you remember John?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, that one phone call has done so much to go over the airwaves and to have people that have experienced molestation be moved by what he said. Because he, as one that did perpetrate, he was also a victim and was molested. And so here Carol is today going, wow, I see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to a point where I have let myself, she's forgiven herself and she's forgiven her grandfather. And interesting how it took her grandfather's death for her to find freedom. Yeah. What if, right? What if we could find freedom sooner? What if we didn't have to wait our lifetime to begin to find our voice and to let the secret out so it doesn't hold us captive?
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you've joined us today. And, you know, if you, like I do, you enjoy Dr. Keffer's comments here and her wisdom, tv.newlife.com. It's full of it. We've got over 1,000 programs and so many great things, things on narcissism and other things that can really, really help you. Resolve some mysteries in your life that, you know, you've been told you were bad and wrong and all these things. And then all of a sudden you see, oh, there was another piece of that puzzle that wasn't being addressed. We'll help you with all of that at tv.newlife.com. If you need some help, a counselor, come to one of our workshops. Our intensives are so very powerful, whether it's Women in the Battle or our new, it's so powerful. We did it once before. The Intimacy Intensive for Marriage, helping people come to grips with all areas of intimacy in their life. So powerful. You can be part of that. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or maybe it's Every Man's Battle. I mean, pornography, it's just the beginning of so many evils and so many problems. And yet men... over 12,000 have stepped up and taken care of that problem. You could be one of them there. And then in October, we launch our first Take Your Life Back intensive. What a great time to finally discover who God intended you to be and not be owned by anything, to let it go and to be in control of your own life. It's going to be a powerful time. We have counselors all over this country. We want to connect you with that. We have books, CDs, DVDs. We have resources for you. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You tell us the problem, and let us try to help you find the resource that would best fit what you need. And Dr. Keffer, thank you for being with us here today. So grateful to get to do this with you. And thanks to all of you who watch and listen and pray. The number, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, it is that same number, 1-800-NEWLIFE. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.